Well, what I would say is don't give up. Don't give in. There is some more similar situations, a lot of journeys, a lot of struggles and obstacles that I went through. I felt that I was alone or felt that no one could possibly went through what I went through. And that is not true. So I always kept in mind that my father would always talk about this scripture. The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endures to the end. So no matter how many small steps you have to take, even if you're down right now, you get up. Even if it's slowly, get up, because you can do that. And take that first step and keep moving. There's going to be somebody there that's going to cheer you on. And you don't know who that is, reach out to someone. Reach out. It's nothing wrong with that. I used to think that it was wrong for to cry out for help, but it's not. That will might be your peace right there, to cry out and to reach out, and help will come. You just have to take the first step. Don't feel like you have to give up or you have to give in, because that's not an option. Once you understand that that's not an option, you will endure till the end and stay true to yourself.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, 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 come on in again. It's time for us to get fired up, motivated, get inspired. Let's get some knowledge. Let's get some empowerment. Let's get some encouragement. Let's help one another get through our struggles. So, I am the professor of perseverance himself, Dr. James Perdue. And on our show today, our guest is a speaker and an author who uses her personal life struggles, which we all should use our struggles, to help other people, all right? But she uses her struggles to foundation of inspiration, empowerment, incitement into the realities that are often hidden beneath the surface of our society, all right? Through her talk, she covers topics like domestic violence, kinship slash foster care, teen pregnancy, child abuse, sexual abuse, and abusive relationships, as well as trauma and PTSD. All right. Author of the book, The Atomic of Kimmy, Accept and Embrace It All. Welcome to the show, Kimberly Bell.
Hi. Thank you. It's a privilege.
Oh, no. Thank you. It's a privilege that you're sharing your valuable time with us and to help us get through a struggling day, struggling part of our life. So that you can share with us. So I like your book cover here. Is that a picture of you in your younger days?
Yes, that is the only picture that I have that I was 6 years old. And that was the beginning pretty much of the book of my life, my journey. I was adopted in kinship. At that time, it was my biological father, sister. So that put her as my paternal aunt. But at that time, kinship wasn't even really known or titled that in the 70s. But I don't have any baby pictures or infant pictures or pictures with my biological parents. So I thought that that was one of the first pictures that I possessed that was going to be the feature of my beginning of my journey.
And again, it's a memoir, The Epitome of Kimmy, Accept and Embrace It All. Now, you said this is a younger picture of you. So what is this picture like, last week, a month ago?
I just turned 48. So that's a privilege right there.
There you go.
That's for you to say that.
There you go. All right. So, well, again, we're glad you're here and we appreciate you sharing your story, your journey with us. And you're going to help us get through some days that we've never thought of and that we could possibly get through. So if you don't mind, let's Kimberly, let's go ahead and let's get started. How Kimberly get started in life? You mentioned kinship adoption, stayed in the family adoption. And so you mentioned that here a few minutes ago. So if you want to go ahead and get us started, we'll move on.
Well, that's really the beginning of my journey that I wanted to put as the memoir. But I was diagnosed as mild retardation, but in my educational years from the very beginning. And it was a misdiagnosed. Back then in the 70s, mental health wasn't embraced with my family, the Black culture that was very, it was very dominant as far as religion. You pray, you seek God, you tarry, you fast, God will work it all out. What is in the house, what goes on in the house stays in the house. So I didn't get the support too much out of the school system, but I did have a resource teacher that I stayed with for 6 years. And with her, and she wasn't the same, she wasn't the same culture as we were, but she was the one that would not give up on me. And she allowed me to see, even through religion, that I didn't have to give up on myself. I went through the bullying because kids knew that I was going from the playground to resource, the resource to playground. And one day I just said to her, probably I was in the fourth or fifth grade, that I didn't want to go out there to the playground. And she said, you know what? You don't have to. You can come and work with me. But for 6 years, what wasn't embraced back then that I talk about and I'm so passionate about is the mental health part, because I was going through a PTSD. I was really traumatized and I could not retain. I could not remember. I would get to a certain number and for weeks I would have to work to go beyond 20 or 30. It was just, I found, even through going, being determined and perseverance, that that I do have an intellectual disability, there's a learning, but it's not mild retardation. I worked very hard, even with the degrees. When I went to college and everything, I have to write. I have to put things on sticky notes. Sometimes I get the cognitive processing. It doesn't come easy, but what does stick in my mind is the resilience, that tools that I have applied in my life throughout the years, and that I will not stop. I will not give up. It's whatever I want, whatever I believe that I can obtain through intellectual, I'll work double hard, triple hard to grab it. Now, once I grab it, that's the thing. Once I get it, I can repeat it over and over and over, but it's the getting it part. And I had to accept that. And that's where I kind of came up with that title, that quote thing, accept it and embrace it all. Because sometimes we feel that accepting is a taboo, but you can accept it and then embrace it and conquer it and do what you have to do. I have to apply myself. I know that. I know what I have to apply myself for, and I achieve it.
There we go. And hey, Teresa Hardaway Little, thank you for coming in. And she said that she was in resource during school as well. And again, Teresa, thank you for coming in today. And Kimberly, hey, a couple of things you mentioned there I want to go back to is, isn't it great that we have someone that thinks highly enough of us that don't give up on us and pushing?
Oh,
you know,
oh,
you
absolutely.
Mentioned this resource
oh,
teacher
absolutely.
That just
yeah.
hung in there. Yeah, and makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
Even though you did mention the bullying in the playground,
yes.
Because kids, they catch on what's happening. And yeah, kids no different than today. Mm-hmm. They were back in the 70s. They're going to belittle you, beat you down. And then
right.
There's the others that are going to love you to death no matter what. And so we just hope the ones that are the bullying and the belittling, that they eventually outgrow everything. And become a better human being as well. So
you're absolutely right.
And also, when you talk about the embrace it, you know, accept it, you know, we don't have to love what's going on, but we do need to accept what's going on. That way we can start with the healing and moving forward.
You're right. You're right.
So, I mean, I'm in a wheelchair. I got my neck broke playing football. I don't have to love that I'm in a wheelchair and paralyzed, but I have to accept it so I can move on to be able to be where I'm at today.
You're absolutely right. And at one time, it was so difficult for me to accept my past, to accept my limitations, and believe it or not, the outcome. And that's what kind of rewards the end of the book. I asked my oldest daughter, I have four grown kids, and then I have a 5-year-old. And my oldest daughter, she read the book in one night, and I said, what was your favorite chapter? And she said, Mom, honestly, the end. And that just really confirmed everything that I was meant and the purpose on life to do, because the end was pretty much of embracing and accepting and showing people the outcome may not be your outcome, like you talked about in the wheelchair. It's not fun for me to overwork and hear many colleagues, many coworkers tell me, you're doing the long way, you're doing the long version, but that's how I can get it. That's how I can get it. So I had to accept that. And now I'm not frustrated. I'm not anxious. It's just a part of me. And as you were saying, a part of me now that I'm bracing and I'm loving.
And to me, it doesn't matter if we go the short route or we take the scenic route, as long as we come up with the correct there. Yes, exactly. You know, I'd much rather take my time and take the scenic route when I'm going somewhere just to have something different to do. All right. We don't have to all be the same and be in the hustle and bustle and be in the fast track. So I'm slow as a turtle, but I get there when I get there. So same thing mentally. You know, if you try to rush through it like other people that are capable of going through it quick, you're liable to be more frustrated and give up before you hung in there long enough to find that way. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as we get there.
And then, you know, Professor, I start laughing at myself because I'll get this even down to jokes. I'm the last person that usually gets it, and it takes me always longer. And now I start laughing at myself when I start remembering, because I have this dumb look on my face, or I remember, and I'm like, but you know what? When I did get it, it's awesome to me. If it was received when you all received it, I wouldn't be so happy.
I was a teacher for a while, and of course I would tell corny jokes to my seventh graders, and some of the jokes weren't as funny as I thought they'd be. And I'd always say to them, about midnight, you'll wake up in the middle of the night, you'll catch it and start laughing then.
Right. So, that would be me too.
There you go. Well, I'm assuming you've done something right throughout your life, whether it took you 10 times as long, again, for you to be successful in life right now. And I'm telling you, you have accomplished a major, major success in life. How many people have authored a book? I don't care. People talk about if you self-publish or whatever. I don't care. You wrote a book. You got it out there. How many people are sitting on the back burner going, I'm going to get that book done one day.
You're right.
And that one day never gets here.
Right.
I'm so proud of you that you're able to get that. Now you need to work on your next book.
Right.
So that's what you need. So right. And go from there. So, all right. Now then, not to give in a lot of other abuses, and everything, but you've been through abusive relationships, sexual abuse, stuff like that. So, but what's made you strong enough? You know, I mean, for what I've met here in the last 10 minutes, the 13 minutes, I can tell you're a powerful woman. Okay. I can tell I love your humor. I love you got a beautiful smile and your laughter. So what can you credit that's made you be a powerful woman? I mean, you could have easily fought it. Like you said, I didn't want to go out during PE anymore, or playground anymore because of the bullying. But you got over that to finally, you know, to be again where you're at today. What do you credit has given you this this powerful within you?
Well, like we were talking about before, the support system and me personally getting to know that I have a voice, because at six was a very crucial age. And it wasn't like I didn't know both of my parents. I knew both of them. I lived with them up until then. So I just shut down, and I shut down for years. And I didn't have but so many support that would come in my life, and that was just God sent. And my book talks about when I got older, I would push certain people away that was sent instead of embracing because of what I wanted. What I wanted wasn't coming. And so getting back to the support system, I had that one teacher. That's why I was so, I started my career as a substitute teacher and used to do that for years in my hometown because of that gift that I had received. I wanted to give back. And she was in my elementary school, and I'll never forget her. I'll never forget the book that we went through in 6 years. And she didn't dismiss my parents' tool or their faith. And they were going to just accept and pray about it and leave everything in God's hands. She did offer, maybe you might want her to go and see someone outside the therapy, but that was not happening. But she did suggest. And so what she did when she seen it wasn't going to happen, she just gave me what she could give. And that was one of the best things. That was my start of my support system. Then my adopted dad, he did the support system where he undergirded me with the scripture. He I could constantly see him sometimes or hear him praying. And that got in my spirit to where there's a higher power. There is someone that, in spite of it all, that I might not believe, that has these things happening to me, loves me. And there is love in this world. It starts from him, and and I have this. And so I had to look at personally. I started, and it didn't come overnight, knowing that I have a voice, that I have these emotions, that it's okay that I can get angry. It's okay that I feel sad. It's okay that there's hurt. And then once I started understanding that there's a voice and there is, that's inside of me, and it's okay, then I started understanding me more. And throughout the years, I had to go through lessons. I had to go through struggles and obstacles to understand what type of person I am, this essence that I hold. We're all uniquely made differently. And sometimes that foundation can make it so shaky that we don't take the time to know our strengths or to know just our essence and what we're built on, which is different from everybody else. We're uniquely made. And I tell all my kids that you all are, might have similar actions, but you are completely different and unique. And so I had to find that. And I had to understand that there's love within me. If I love me, then I'm showing my children and other people how to love me. But that has to come first. That has to come first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you don't love yourself, how can you expect someone else? If you don't have confidence in your own self, how can you expect someone else to have that confidence in you? Now, I love what you was talking about, that you found your voice. How many of us, when we're so young and everything, and again, we've been beaten down with life, with bullies or whatever, low self-esteem, we're not a good reader. I wasn't a good reader when I was younger. And so the teachers have, all of us read out loud, and I would always try to figure out which paragraph I'd count how many people ahead of me so I can count the paragraphs so I can find mine. And while they're reading everything else, I'm reading my one paragraph over and over and over so I didn't sound as, I don't want to say stupid or dumb, but not as literate compared to them. And so I may get a chance to read it 10 times just to make sure I can read it smoother like they do. And so, but and when we're younger, we all have a voice. I don't care who it is. It's just how we use it. Okay. But plenty of us, again, what I'm saying is at the beginning is we use our voice to cry out because we're hurting, because of what's going on, because we want to survive. We want to do better. We want to be like everyone else. And even though, like you said, we're unique, but we want to be up there with like everyone else. And once we find that voice, boy, is it amazing then.
It is. It really is. It's liberation. It's liberation. And like I said in the beginning, I wasn't asked. And I think that really it haunted me for a while. I wasn't asked, do you want to stay here? Are you going to be okay? Are you scared of the light? Do you want to sleep here? It was pretty much, this is where you're going to be. Here's your room you're going to stay in. Good night at 6. No, good morning. We're mom, dad. You call us this. We love you in spite of. It was no voice. So then, and I know that there's other people that went through similar, that it was shut down for years where I just let things happen. And like you said, once my voice, I found it. And one of the chapters talk about the silent cry. Because I kept it in, and outwardly I followed suit because I'm hurting inwardly, you know, and not being able to voice it, as you said, properly, you know, and getting into relationships and following the same pattern, not voicing what my dislikes is, what my likes are. This is not right. This is wrong. This makes me feel this way. So finding it, like we were just talking about, was totally liberation, peace, and me being able to show even my youngest one. Periodically, we were talking. I said, are you upset? Are you hungry? What is it? Why are you whining? Because I want that communication to her to get it. You can the older you get, like you were saying, the more you can communicate, and there's a right way and a wrong way to communicate. But there's also an effective communication that's out of this world, right?
Yes, exactly. So, and it's a shame that plenty of people find their voice. I mean, there's some don't find it until real late in life. But there's plenty of people. Here's what's sad to me is plenty of people find their voice. Then they get into an abusive relationship, wrong relationship, and then they lose their voice, then they lose themselves.
Right.
And then finally,
right.
And it may take 10 years, it may take 20 years, one year is long enough, but finally they wake up and realize this is not me. And then they bring that person back alive again and again to re-liberate themselves again, as you said.
You're right. And that takes determination. Like I said, in the book, there's many marriages, more than two, and you have to read it. But there, I would not give up. Even with the church and other people saying, you stay in there. I wouldn't give up to the fact of knowing, is this how I want my life to be? Is this healthy for me? Is this how I should be living? And when you ask those questions to yourself that, and you know the person that you are, you have to make that answer and you have to make that choice and that determination for yourself. And that's one thing that I try to continue to do even through my work and my personal life is doing the self-care immediately. Even in the morning, how am I taking care of me?
Yeah, you definitely need to take time for yourself.
Right.
Because again, if you let yourself get beat down, weathered down, so far down, there's no way that you can help anyone else. And so you've definitely got to take care of yourself as well. So, hey, again, we're talking with the author of The Epitome of Kimmy, Accept and Embrace It All. And again, Kimberly, thank you for being here. And again, you sure that picture wasn't like 6 months ago? I mean, that's a nice picture. So, all right, now then. All right, and let's go back a little bit here talking about your support system. Yeah, I'm a firm believer. Again, after I got paralyzed, if I didn't have my family for them to listen to me whine and cry, there's days that we were all mad and hate each other. And there was definitely times that we'd come back to love each other. But there was plenty of days they couldn't stand me, with me being so hard about being paralyzed. And I'm glad that my support system didn't give up. And right. If you look hard enough and you watch hard enough, and I know I could tell with you already, you've done the same thing, that you've been a great support system for someone, somewhere, more than one person, your children, whoever, family, whoever, that a great support system will sacrifice stuff, their life, to make your life easier or better. Yeah. So I'm sure someone sacrificed something for you to get you where you're at. And I bet you, again, just by meeting here in the last 25 minutes, that I could tell that I'm sure you sacrificed so much somewhere to help your children or parents or a good friend to be able to help get them up and going in life.
Yes, I have. It goes in full circle. And like I said, that I had, throughout my life, there were just people that was coming throughout the journey, good and bad, but I had to learn to embrace the good ones and to understand that this wasn't meant for me to push away because of, it's not my biological mother, it's not my biological father, it's who God is sending to help me, to give me more strength, to impact my life at that time, to show that there's empathy, there's love, there's concern. And I had I spoke at a women's conference, and this was in my probably late 20s or early 30s, and I'll never forget, this lady came up and she ended up being a part of my life even down to this day. And she was from Alabama and she came from another state. And I think throughout our encounter, I stopped talking to her for like maybe close to 2 years because she wasn't my biological mother. That's not really one of who I wanted to connect. But this woman had just embraced me, felt the hurt, took her time out. I went on my first cruise with her and her colleagues, and went on the plane to see her and her family for the very first time. Some things that I knew that I never had done before, she was the one that gave me the opportunity. If it wasn't for this lady, I wouldn't have got my my bachelor's degree, because at that time, I had got all the way up until it was time for us to get our commencement information and everything. And so it was probably about close to 20 of us. We were mailed a certified letter saying that we owed a balance and that we could still come, but we wouldn't get our diploma until that balance was paid. And I went to her and I was crying and I said, all this work, it took me 6 years for a 4-year degree. It's no way that I came this far. And she said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're going to go across that stage and you're going to get that diploma. So she was there at every one of my academic achievements. And I'm grateful, because what I would be able to tell someone else is that know that and trust that throughout your journey and throughout your life, a support system will be set up. You just have to accept and embrace it. And know that maybe it might come like the way you would want it to come, but it will come.
Accept, embrace it all.
Yes.
Just not embrace it. Embrace it all.
Right.
Okay. Hey, and what's the old adage? The old saying is it takes a village to raise a child. And that doesn't mean the village is mom and dad and brother, sister, and uncle, niece, nephew.
Right.
It's everybody that comes and play into your life. And even the bad people, because the bad people teach you what you don't want to be like.
Yes.
All right. And how I don't want to treat other people. So the village is everybody, all kinds, and good or bad, and that helps mold you to make you better.
Yes.
Amen, sister. Hey, thank you for giving us the word out here today, Kimberly. Oh, you got me all fired up. So, all right, you mentioned something I was going to bring up, and I get that sometimers sometimes, and I got that sometimers happening right now. So, all right. Well, while I'm thinking, go ahead and tell us how we can get hold of your social media if someone may want to contact you for a speaking opportunity or maybe a coaching. Maybe you can start coaching in other people and how they can find your book.
Most definitely. So I have a website. It's www.KimberlyAnn, and that's with an E, A-N-N-E-B-E-L-L. All one word .com. So that's KimberlyAnnBell.com. And that's my website. You'll be able to, if you want to see the name of the book, where to get the book from, The Epitome of Kimmy, my accomplishments, just something, have a little paragraph about me, kind of. And I think it's more pictures of my family, and that I'm so proud of, and that that they just keep me going with that, being able to share my story and share my journey. I'm just really blessed. So that website pretty much is the tool that I have, that if you want to reach out to me at any time, there's a link there too. You can put your information in and I can contact you.
All right. And again, The Epitome of Kimmy, and embrace it all, accept and embrace it all. So, and again, thank you for being here, man. You have fired us up and gave us some insights and gave us some encouragement on how to get out of some of these issues and troubles. So now, Kimberly, we know that people are struggling today. Somebody's hurting somewhere out there. And if you can give us a powerful message to help this one get through today, that would be a blessing in itself.
Well, what I would say is don't give up. Don't give in. There is some more similar situations, a lot of journeys, a lot of struggles and obstacles that I went through. I felt that I was alone, or felt that no one could possibly went through what I went through. And that is not true. So I always kept in mind that my father would always talk about this scripture: the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endureth to the end. So no matter how many small steps you have to take, even if you're down right now, you get up. Even if it's slowly, get up, because you can do that. And take that first step and keep moving. There's going to be somebody there that's going to cheer you on, and you don't know who that is. Reach out to someone. Reach out. It's nothing wrong with that. I used to think that it was wrong for to cry out for help, but it's not. That will might be your peace right there, to cry out and to reach out, and help will come. You just have to take the first step. Don't feel like you have to give up or you have to give in, because that's not an option. Once you understand that that's not an option, you will endure till the end and stay true to yourself. Understand it's nothing wrong with self-care, understanding you, getting to know you, and then getting to know everyone else. But just like you would protect your body of anybody just coming up and hitting you, protect your mind, protect your spirit the same way, if not even more, because that is just as valuable. That is a part of you. It's valuable just like your outer physical body. So that's what I would say. And stay encouraged, because I didn't, and I'm here. I'm a survivor. I'm here to cheer you on.
There you go. And we're glad that you're a survivor and you're here. And thank you for that good word right there to help people to get themselves. And I like the powerful part you said, you may not know who, you know, when you ask for help or whatever, you may not know, but they're coming. Yeah. And so that's beautiful right there. So yeah, we don't have to know it, but we know that we trust that it's on the way.
Yes.
So, all right, Kimberly, thank you for coming in. Hey, everybody else, Teresa Hardaway Little, again, thank you for coming in. And thank you all for coming in on the replay. Hey, if you can share this out to someone, you know, someone can use this message and help them out. Again, you don't have to be in some type of abusive relationship into a kinful adoption situation. You don't have to be paralyzed in a wheelchair like me, but the providing the hope, the encouragement,
yes,
still the same, and to help other people. Yes. All right, everybody else, do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.